You're listening to the Your City Lifestyle Podcast, where we bring the best of our content across food, travel, fashion, and more straight to your eardrums. I'm joined by Sarah Malacco, who's a fashion journalist and also a fashion lover, who has recently written a long-read article for us on fashion and the metaverse. The metaverse is quickly becoming one of the go-to destinations for those who love tech, but especially those who love fashion, as it is becoming something of the next shopping center of the internet. So Sarah, let's dive in. What is the metaverse? What is a metaverse?
So essentially, a metaverse is any kind of virtual reality space where users can engage with one another and also engage with different forms of reality within the space. So it's a term that we're hearing more and more recently, especially because Mark Zuckerberg recently announced that they were changing Facebook to Meta and saying they were announcing Meta Spaces within that. And everyone is suddenly like, what is a metaverse and do I require like a space suit and an oxygen tank to go there? Kind of seems that way because it does seem like a bit of a very technologically forward concept based on what we think that we currently have. But actually, we've all been engaging in metaverse spaces for a really long time already. And it is a sci-fi kind of a term that people might have heard previously because it was coined by a sci-fi writer called Neal Stephenson. And his interpretation of it was that it would always be a virtual reality space that mimicked a real one. Mm-hmm. And that is what we've seen it as in the ways that we might have interacted with it previously.
Mm-hmm. I know from your piece as well, that term was coined 30 years ago, mm-hmm. which seems like a long time ago, but it's actually not. So that's at the start of what we would call Web 2. So we'll get into that in a second, the Web 1, 2, and 3. But just to say as well, it's funny because even myself, when I would hear people talk about the metaverse, it would just feel like some very far off, distant tech innovation. Whereas if you've played The Sims, if you've, you know, played Stardoll, Penguin, what's it called?
Club Penguin. Club Penguin. Cabo Hotel.
I wasn't a Club Penguin person, but Sims on me. But even myself, this is a very niche one, but IMVU, which mimicked the same thing as what the metaverse offers, which is giving you an online tangible space that you could customize, but crucially pay for. So crucially with this, there's a financial aspect, a buy-in aspect that can still seem quite alien to some people. Before we get into that, give me a quick summary of what is Web 1, 2, and 3, because quite simply, the metaverse is one of the first forays into what will become and what is Web 3.
Yes. So far, we have kind of had three iterations of the internet as we know it. So the very first thing was this thing called ARPANET, which happened in around 1969. And that was funded by a US defense system where they wanted to be able to share information between a network of multiple computers. Previously, if you had information on a computer, it was just staying there unless you were going to physically put it on a floppy disk and put it into another computer. And then that research was just worked upon and worked upon up until the 90s, where we had the first iteration of the World Wide Web, which was information sharing, but on a public basis. Mm-hmm. So it was an English guy by the name of Tim Berners-Lee, and he opened it up to the public in the 90s, or I think it was 89. And that's when we first started seeing the new iteration of the internet, which is Web 2. And that was where the information being shared was no longer kind of formal documents or research based. It was when we started to see information, we'll say government websites, bulletin board based social messaging, and then that developed into social media. So one of the first instances of people being able to communicate with each other in just a casual social way was this bulletin board based kind of like forums.
Mm-hmm. I miss them. Great crack.
Still some bad ones of those knocking around today, apparently. But so that was Web 2. And that's kind of where we are now. We're still in Web 2, but on the brink of entering into Web 3. Mm-hmm. And Web 3 is where we're going to see a lot more virtual reality based spaces. There will be metaverse concepts within Web 3. And also Web 2, a huge element of that was the openness, that it was accessible to all people, that information can be shared any which way, which is why we have like so much misinformation on the internet we have now as well, but as well as, you know, good quality sourcing and things like that. So Web 3 will be a little bit more, we'll say, aspirational, and there'll be more closed spaces. And some of those we'll see through metaverses, because some metaverses will have a lot of kind of buy-in aspects. Kind of easy way to explain it is if you play any games online, even like The Sims or Minecraft or any of those, they all have in-app or in-game purchasing. And that is is what these metaverses will have as well, which is how it kind of led me to being interested in the fashion element of it, because that's one of the first things that we've seen. One of the first industries that's really broken into it is the fashion industry, because everyone wants their avatar to be like the best looking avatar in the metaverse.
Naturally. So. It's so interesting, as you say, that this Web3 dimension become the home of aspirational living, because if we think of Web3 as being the stage of the internet where the line between the physical world and the online world blur, then it's only a matter of time before something like the fashion industry moves into there and brings with it this aspect of aspirational living, having things that not everyone can have. Because you could argue, this is a whole separate conversation, this is the next podcast, but you can argue that fashion, especially high fashion, has become so much more accessible through celebrities, Instagram influencers, even just like resale sites, that it doesn't have the same elite, you know, power that I did before. Whereas now with the metaverse, there's this aspect of having something that not everyone does have. So why is it that fashion became maybe an early innovator when it comes to the metaverse? Why are they buying in now?
It's kind of a natural connection in the sense that people, it's just human instinct, I think, to want to look your best. And if you are now going to be spending more time socializing online, you want that representation of yourself to look as well as possible and also be an accurate representation of how you would hope to portray yourself in the real world. And then secondly, I think, and one of the experts, Ashley McDonald, that I spoke to in the article, she was saying that a big element of it is FOMO, so the fear of missing out, that some luxury houses were quite slow to incorporate themselves onto social media. And she made an excellent point by saying that the slower you are to convert yourself onto these platforms as a brand, the more it costs you in the long run to catch up. So I think they're kind of tripping over themselves a bit to get in on the action early in the game. And really what we've seen in terms of, you know, digital objects or products being valued, it is within the art and fashion space so far.
When it comes down to it, it's like buying clothes, but then what does it mean then to buy clothes in the metaverse? Because you mentioned a few minutes ago the buying aspect. So does that literally mean that you're buying things off a website you then wear within the metaverse? How does it work in a practical context?
So the way we're kind of seeing it at the moment, we'll say, would be within gaming. Like, gaming is one of the biggest cultural or social groups that we have that isn't based on like location or anything like that. So many people across the world are invested in online gaming, interactive gaming, where they play with other users who could be anywhere in the world. And the way it is done within that is that you can, you know, load up a menu and catalog of, we'll say in Fortnite, they're called skins. The way my limited enough understanding of Fortnite, having only watched it be played over my brother's shoulder, is that it's like an outfit that you can like put on, you can purchase and put it on your avatar or character. And Balenciaga, controversial at the moment, but they did a collection with Fortnite that was hugely popular. Gucci have done one with Roblox. Moschino did one with The Sims years ago.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember buying it. And it's funny, I'm obviously, I think listeners can tell that I'm firmly on one side of the debate here in terms of whether I think it's worth buying clothes on the metaverse.
Yeah.
But I remember getting the Moschino pack being like, why? Why? Why is this happening? But it's just so interesting to see how the conversation has changed towards this being a massively thriving area in the fashion world. So you were saying that it started with gaming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as we just start spending more time socially in these spaces, there is going to be that natural need to portray ourselves as we want to be portrayed, to be seen as we want to be seen. And I even kind of think of it like we already have, you know, catfishing on social media, where people are, you know, maybe put the best version of themselves forward using like pictures of someone else, like descriptions of someone else. Like, you can be whoever you want to be in the metaverse, and there needs to be a catalog of accessories available for you to be able to do that. You could be going around as like a giant octopus with a beard if you wanted, or you could be like Kendall Jenner looking with a gorgeous gown. It just depends on how you want to look in that space.
I mean, giant octopus with a beard. I can't think of anything better.
Exactly.
Is it really different from filters, if you think of it that way? As in, like, if you're thinking of, like, it's about how you portray yourself online, maybe it's not too far away from paying for a filter or Facetune, if people use Facetune, it's just tweaking how you appear mm-hmm. online. But what I would say is, I think for many listeners, it would still be hard to imagine paying money for an item that you can't hold in the physical world, that you can't touch or feel. Especially for me, I think about fashion. I'm a Taurus, so this is a very Taurus thing to say, but I was just thinking about how with fashion, so much of it, the kind of sensory feel of it, the physical experience of fashion, especially something that's very high quality, you want to prioritize really good quality materials, things that feel good on you. So then it's so interesting to think of people who will spend the money on something that only exists in what is still primarily a 2D, you know, interface, unless you're in a physical 3D version of the metaverse. Mm-hmm. So what would be your take on the argument in favor of paying money, possibly a lot of money, to own items of clothing in the metaverse?
Well, I would feel similarly in terms of when it comes to fashion, like the tactileness, the tangibility of an item of clothing, being able to see it in your wardrobe and, you know, think about how you're going to wear it, and the memories as well that come with clothing is a big thing for me. In recent years, a lot of people's attitudes towards fashion has become that it's quite disposable. Mm-hmm. And I do think that for people who are interested in trends, if they are existing more in a social space online, being able to try out these trends without purchasing real clothing, it's mm-hmm. kind of a better alternative. Mm-hmm. But for people who do love fashion in the real world, we'll say, I think that the unbridled creativity that can come with metaverse-based fashion is what is going to be the ultimate draw. Because as much as I love my whatever I have in my wardrobe, I also might like a dress that's made of fire.
Wouldn't we all?
I can't have that. Well, I could, but it would be extremely dangerous, and I feel like there would be claims made. So, you know, the Galway Fire Department won't be happy.
Talk about aspirational.
Exactly. But yeah, there's just, it's limitless what you can do, because it's in a plane of limitless reality. And if you want an outfit of any kind, if you want to look any certain way, you can do it. Like, we won't have the same limits and constraints that we have in the real world. And also, I do think people who enjoy looking at, you know, haute couture shows, really high fashion shows, and those things are not necessarily going to be accessible to them in the real world. Mm-hmm. Because I personally would probably perceive that the clothing that might be put out by those brands within the metaverse will be at a lower price point. Mm-hmm. It's giving a level of accessibility that we wouldn't be able to have just in our regular schmegler world.
It's interesting as well, because just what came to mind there is the difference in sizing as well within mm-hmm. the fashion world. But I know that an ongoing discussion that needs to be had more is the difference between availability of sizes for people who are fuller compared to those who are the traditional slim build mm-hmm. that's favored or has been traditionally favored by high fashion. Yeah. So then there is some aspect of, like, you will be able to engage in a way that maybe you wouldn't be in the quote unquote real world.
Yeah.
As you mentioned as well, the sustainability aspect, I know, is a massive part of this, because as we know, the fashion industry is the second largest polluter behind the oil industry. Mm-hmm. So there's this need for more sustainable ways of creating clothes, and also, as you say, furthering the creativity within the industry. So how does that play out sustainability wise within the metaverse?
I mean, just the fact that these clothes aren't going to exist on a, you know, plane of reality. Mm-hmm. There is no landfill for them to go to. They're mm-hmm. just bits of data. Like, they don't take up, you know, real resources. They don't take poor labor practices or gallons of water, or, you know, it's not producing more plastic, polyester. It only exists within this digital space. So there's going to be a drastically lower output of damage to the environment from a digital piece of clothing. One of the ways that we're kind of already seeing this is through the adoption of digital fashion by influencers, some influencers, and people on social media. So there's a website called DressX. They specialize in creating digital fashions. It's items that don't exist in the real world, but you can browse them as if you would browse any online shopping website like ASOS or any of those. And some of the items they have are just so creative. Like, they're incredible pieces of art that you could never actually wear in the real world, because it just wouldn't be our level of physics just isn't there yet, and I don't think it's going to develop any further. So you can browse that, and what they do is you send them your photographs and they tailor the garment onto your photograph so it looks like you're wearing it. And I think that aspect of it is going to be really powerful, because a lot of purchasing power exists within influencing and the social media space. Mm-hmm. And if people are being introduced to digital fashion in this way, I think it might encourage people, you know, if they want to make a beautiful image on social media or whatever, they might not go to the fast fashion website and bulk buy a lot of clothing that they might only wear once for this picture. They might actually turn to digital fashion instead, which would have a much smaller damage towards the environment. And of course, we would hope that people's attitudes towards clothing would change as well, that people wouldn't necessarily want to just purchase one thing for a photo, but that is the reality we do live in. Like, a lot of people do that. So it'd be interesting to see if that would be one of our first adaptations into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially, as you say, because of the influence that influencers have in changing the culture around fashion, which does shift either very quickly or very slowly, depending on what area you're looking at. You mentioned DressX, which I know is one of the largest, if not the largest site for allowing people to browse clothes within the metaverse. Is there an aspect where it's more affordable for people to buy in? Because if we're talking about Balenciaga, Oshino, Gucci, these are very high-end designer labels. But then is there like a lower price point for people to get the toe in without breaking the bank?
Yes, there is. More affordable fashion brands are starting to get in on the action now. So for quite a while, it was just more luxury brands, high-end fashion. A lot of the brands and designers that were featured on DressX specifically would have been independent designers or artists that maybe wouldn't have necessarily traditionally worked in fashion design. But because it's digital fashion, those boundaries aren't there. A lot of the stuff would have been at maybe medium or higher price points. But just recently, fast fashion or high street brands are getting in on the action. Recently, DressX had a collection with Bershka, and things were as low as, I think, $2.99 on that collection on the website. So you could just try on Bershka's digital clothing for a really low price. You can post your picture in it, whatever, and maybe that will convert into a real life sale for the brand. So I think that's kind of how they're getting into it at the moment. I think as it becomes more and more popular, of course, there will be more price bands and there'll be different levels of accessibility for people. And I think definitely when we do start spending more time in metaverse spaces, I think we'll have, you know, our more casual attire that might be high street brands that we purchase from online. And then for events within the metaverse, because there will be events, there'll be like gigs, parties, film screenings, like even fashion shows have already been hosted in the metaverse. You might have a more snazzy ensemble that you might purchase from an aspirational brand that you've had your eye on for a while. And hopefully that price point would be a lot lower than it would be to purchase the same garment in real life, because it's, you know, a digital piece.
With that, I know, comes the aspect of security as well. If you're buying these very high priced items, in the same way you have to protect them in the real world, there's a way of protecting them in the metaverse digital world, but it's slightly different. That comes into the area of NFTs, which I know is a much more complex part of this conversation. So we won't go into it right
too
now. You can go, listeners can go and read the article for more information, but give us the short explanation of why security is so important with these pieces.
Yes. So a lot of these pieces, particularly ones that will be, we'll say, of much higher value, they will be purchased using cryptocurrencies. And the connection between cryptocurrencies and the metaverse is going to be huge. And already, you know, the purchase of NFTs is done with crypto. There is a lot of instability around that. There has even just been a big slump in the value of crypto, which was triggered by the collapse of one of the biggest crypto exchanges. So there is like questions around that. And I'm definitely not a crypto expert by any means whatsoever, but it would go along the same route, I think, as how people protect their NFTs. You are the owner of your crypto wallet, like whatever you own remains within that. And as long as you have the passcode, you're good to go. The other kind of element of it as well within NFTs is that what some brands are doing that I think is pretty interesting is this thing called twinning. So if you buy an item, like we'll say a really expensive handbag, like you want a Birkin or something. I don't think Hermes is doing this, but let's say they
not
were.
Yet.
They would, you buy your Birkin or whatever you buy, and then you also get an NFT that holds your certificate of authenticity for the garment in real life. But then you also own this like valuable, I guess, piece of art, this commodity, this mm-hmm. symbol of authenticity in the metaverse. Mm-hmm. So I think that will become like a bit of a status symbol as well.
Mm-hmm. And what we're saying is that fashion will operate within the metaverse the same way it operates here, just with a few differences in physics and accessibility, which are possibly very welcome. But one thing you mentioned, which I want to get into before we wrap up, is the prospect of metaverse events, which, you know, will allow you to wear these pieces and show them off, but also kind of brings to mind what's next for the metaverse. Because as we were saying at the start of the podcast, we're just at the cusp of Web3. So we're witnessing these changes come quite rapidly, at least in fashion. So what's next for the metaverse, and where will we see this eventually go?
I think that with the pandemic, we are kind of a bit more used to now kind of attending things in a digital way. So, you know, staying at home, but logging into a Zoom chat with all of your friends, or even attending online comedy gigs, online yoga classes, that kind of thing. I think that will help us mm-hmm. Kind of adapt ourselves to being more open to attending online events. But yeah, so one of the key ways that I think people are going to get into joining metaverse spaces and wanting to be part of it is that there will be gigs, events. Even already, I think some musicians have done concerts on Minecraft and things like that, like through gaming portals, which is really cool. Or even we'll say in The Sims, like one of your options is to attend concerts with like certain expansion packs or whatever. And like people find that entertaining. So why would it not be even more entertaining to attend as yourself with people that you actually know, and you can interact with them within that space mm-hmm. virtually while seeing a gig as well? And like you don't even have to bother with traffic after, like you're still on the couch and you've done this, attended this event, got your socializing done.
Absolutely. So you're a fully real person. Also, has anyone ever done anything without FOMO being a factor?
Exactly. And of course, I don't think it's going to replace like real world events in any way, but I think especially for things like fashion, we'll say fashion shows, you know, the key fashion weeks happen at certain locations across the world, and not everyone is able to attend them, but you could attend one in the metaverse. You could be socializing with and chatting with, you know, like-minded people from all across the world, attending an event that you're super passionate about and never would have had the opportunity to experience previously. But you're still doing that, but you're doing it from home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to do it in a way where you can customize how you look, how you appear to the other people who are there, really represent yourself in a way that you feel comfortable with, I think is a really cool aspect of it.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. And, yeah. And also, we're at the very start of it. So I think we can all just keep watching as it develops. Thank
Definitely.
You, Sarah, for joining me for the chat. And you can read Sarah's article on Worthy Lifestyle